Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of SoundCart Radio. This morning's episode is entitled, The Antichrist Will Win the World Through Flattery, Signs, and Wonders. And in order to get a complete picture of the end time events that feature the Antichrist, one has to read both the book of Daniel, which is apocalyptic literature, and also the Revelation. There are other books in the Old Testament and the New Testament, too, that one must read, but Daniel and Revelation are considered to be companion books because of the information that both of these documents contain about this end time individual. But I'm going to start in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to recap some of the things that we studied yesterday, and then we're going to move on to consider more details about this personality. So, once again, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, it reads, "Now we beseech," Paul writes, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." So then he goes on that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter asked from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. It is important to note that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, although it may be obscured, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul talks about the day of man. As being in the present tense, the day of man. We are currently living in the day of man. And, or in Paul's language, he has the day of Anthropos, the day of man. In 2 Corinthians 5:5, he speaks about the day of Christ, which is future. So, this individual, the Antichrist, will arise during the last part of the day of man. And in order to get more information about how this occurred, and please read Revelation chapter 3 and read the letter to the church and Laodicea, in order to get some understanding of the spiritual condition of the visible church at this time. Paul also talks about the character of the church in the last days in his letter to Timothy. He talks about how perilous or literally how demonic times will come in the last days. So Paul is, and this is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And it is interesting to note that Paul is specifically talking about the condition of the church. And please notice that in verse 2 he begins, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And so narcissism and selfishness will characterize the church of the last days. Then he goes on, and so then he talks about what flows from that behavior: covetousness, boasters, proud—that is, one who is above others, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy or wicked, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And in verse 3 he says, it begins without natural affection, that is, with no family love, no natural affection. Truce breakers, no reconciliation, people who are constantly at war with one another or among themselves. False accusers, incontinent, that is, powerless or no self-control, fierce, despises of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, plural, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Notice verse 5, having a form, a morphosen, that is, having an outward form of godliness, but inside there is this malignant corruption. And so, very telling words. Now, when we go back to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 3, Paul writes, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, I just read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. I want you to see in Paul in the states the condition of the visible church in the last days. And here he is talking about the great apostasy. He's talking about those who reject Christ, are falling away first. The great apostasy is a pivotal event that will take place in the day of man. And so notice, this will come first. And then Paul writes, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And so in verse 1, Paul talks about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is his parousias, the parousia, the second coming of Christ. And then in verse 3, Paul talks about the revelation of the man of sin. There, we have the last book of the New Testament is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. And here, Paul speaks about the revelation or the unveiling of the man of sin. And so, please note that in biblical documents, name denotes character. Name denotes essence. Names denote essence, or the essence of an individual. And so these are very, very powerful terms. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of ruin, apolia, is the Greek term that's used, that is translated as loss or lost. So notice verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. And let me restate once again that there are two words in the Greek for time that have been translated as time. One is chronos, which has to do with calendar time, everyday time, as it is used by us to regulate our schedules. And then there is, which is chronos, and then there's kairos, which means a strategic epochal time in which certain events must take place. That is, predetermined events predetermined by God are to take place or are to come to pass. So it's very important to to have this understanding in our minds as we study about the last day. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity, or literally the secret purpose of lawlessness. The secret purpose of lawlessness doth already work. So Paul is writing in the first century AD, and he notes that during his time, the secret purpose of lawlessness was at work, and it has continued in his efforts. And so, but the Holy Spirit of God, is restraining the full manifestation of the secret purpose of lawlessness until that strategic epochal time in which God has designed, or when God would allow the full manifestation of the secret purpose of lawlessness to be seen and to have full power. And so now that there is the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit at work, that he holds back the full manifestation of evil. And so let us move on. And then shall that wicked one, or literally lawless one, not wicked, but that lawless one be revealed. Notice the scripture here tells us, first of all, we have the secret purpose of lawlessness, and now he is called that lawless one. He will be a law unto himself, period. And whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy, that is, to make cease, with the brightness of his parousias, or of his coming. And so, notice verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now, let's go to the book of Daniel, and Daniel gives some more insight about this personality that is to appear in the last days. In Daniel 7:7, he is called the little horn. In Scripture, a horn denotes power. Denotes power. It denotes ability. And so in Daniel 11, verse 32, we read some more about the Antichrist, the man of sin. We read these words: with flattery This is Daniel 11:32. He will corrupt those who have violated the covenant, but the people who know their God will firmly resist him. So he's going to be, we're going to take a look in a moment at Revelation 13. Gives us more information about this individual, but he will use flattery. He will be a master of flattery. Let me read on, verse 33. Those who are wise will instruct many, though for a time they will fall by the sword, or be burned, or captured, or plundered. Read about what's going on in the world today, and that will be commentary on what Daniel has written. When they fall, they will receive a little help, and many who are not sincere will join them. Some of the wise will stumble, so that they may be refined, purified, and made spotless until the time of the end. For it will still come at the appointed time. Verse 36, the king will do as he pleases, speaking about the Antichrist. Here he is called the king. He will exalt and magnify himself above every god and will say unheard of things against the God of gods. He will be successful until the time of wrath is completed. For what has been determined must take place. He will show no regard for the gods of his fathers or for the one desired by women, nor will he regard any god, but will exalt himself above them all. And so these verses amplify what Paul has written. So we have this absolutely pathological, narcissistic personality. And we go now to Revelation 13, which provides us more information about this individual. So we're going to take a look at the signs and wonders that will accompany the rise of the Antichrist. Revelation 13, verse 1, this is John, and John states, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now, in the Bible, the sea is symbolic of unrest. It is symbolic of agitation, ceaseless agitation. And so it is a picture of a world that's given in Revelation 13:1, the world that is at war with itself, the world that has no peace. A world characterized by a political chess. And so John saw this. And he writes, I saw a beast. Now, in the Greek, it reads, the word for beast here is hysterion. It means literally wild beast. So Paul talks about the man of sin, the son of perdition. Daniel 11 talks about the king. And here, John calls him the therion, or the wild beast. And so, in other words, a venomous creature. And this venomous creature has the hypnotic power with regard to flattery. And so let's go on. Let me show you some of the things. And notice his crowns. does not say that he assumed these crowns, and he assumes its authority. He will be a political ruler again. And in Revelation 6:2, we read, he will bring in a false sense of peace. Jesus warns his disciple of the Antichrist in John 5:23. Jesus said, I am come in my Father's name, and you see me not. If another shall come in his idios, in his own name, him you will see. So, even Jesus himself talked about this coming individual, this individual who is to, once again, come up on the scene in the last days of the day of man. Some people call this the church age. And indeed, God is calling out a group of people for his name. They call the church. But alongside of God is moving to bring people to himself through the gospel. And God's message of salvation is still going out. People are still being saved in this day of man. So, we read in verse 1 about the seven heads, which represent authority, and the 10 crowns, the 10 horns, which are symbols of power, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his head, heads the names of the character of blasphemy, or complete blasphemy, which means to speak against in a derogatory manner both God and man. And so, verse 2, and the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard in the English, in the Greek it reads a panther. He was swift and stealthy. And his feet were as the feet of a bear, powerful. And his mouth was as the mouth of a lion, speaking with authority. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. The term dragon here means the sharp-seeing one. The dragon is also spoken of in Revelation chapter 12. The dragon in Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So the term dragon means sharp seeing one. So he, that is a man of sin, will get his power. The wild beast will get his power. The king who considers only himself will get his power. The son of perdition will get his power from the dragon, the sharp seeing one, and his seat and great authority. Paul calls the devil, and in 2 Corinthians, he calls the devil the god of this age, the god of this aeon. And so this is this is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom, let me start at verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this age hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So Paul calls the devil or Satan or the dragon, the sharp-seeing one. Paul calls him the god of this Ionos or age. Now, once again, this is the day of man. And we read here that Satan is the god of the age of man. He is the god of his ion. We get a picture in the book of Acts with the stoning of Stephen, who was the church's first martyr. That persecution is to be this abrasive relationship, this antagonistic relationship is to characterize the church and the cosmos, the church and the world. The world will always have an antagonistic relationship for the church. Jesus said of himself that the world hated him without a cause. And he said, Jesus also said, if the world hated me, it will hate you. So believers must build themselves up in the faith. They must build themselves up in the Word of God. They must see to it that they have a regular time of study and a regular time of prayer. If these things are not in place, then it's going to be very, very difficult for a believer. Bible study, meditation upon the Word of God, growing in the Word of God, being in a ministry where one can really study God's Word and really come to know the Word of God and assimilate the truth. I like what God said to Ezekiel, eat this scroll. That is, God said to Ezekiel, metabolize my Word. You need to metabolize the Word. The Word needs to... the Word is nutrition, spiritual nutrition for believing ones. We grow through the Word. Our souls prosper. Our minds prosper when we study the Word of God. The information that we have in the Scripture with regard to the personality of the Antichrist are there to encourage believers in order to provide hope for us. At some point, we're also going to study Matthew chapter 24, and so we're going to then viewpoint of the day of man and these last times, because I really want you to have some idea of what is going on politically now, what is going on, some idea of what is going on now economically. The world is being positioned for some major events to take place. And so, it's not going to tell us that much, but we have a jump on the media, and that you and I have the Word of God. And so God has told us what is going to happen through prophecy. And we can have the blessed assurance in our hearts that God is for us and God is guiding our lives. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. I love it. Have a wonderful God. Bless you.